verse 31, Matthew 25, 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. Before him shall be gathered all nations. He shall separate one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. He shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. You ever think about that statement? The goats versus the sheep. How many of you have ever had goats? Anybody? How many of you have ever had sheep? Well, the difference between sheep and goats in their demeanor, in their personalities, if you will, are quite, telling. And these, understand that when Jesus talked to the people, he talked about things they could relate to. And they understood the difference between sheep and goats. They understood that sheep love each other. They count on each other. They flock together. If danger comes, they run together. A goat is independent. A goat is a wanderer. Goats are mean. Can be. They're not all mean. But their nature is that they're independent. And when Jesus talks about the difference between a goat and sheep, he's talking about the difference of flocking together and counting on each other and running to the shepherd or being independent. I believe in self-sufficiency. I believe that if somebody can do it, the worst thing we can do is do it for them. We need to let people do what they can on their own. If you ever have been around somebody who needed care, that's one of the rules. If they can button their own shirt, you let them do it. Don't take over chores for them, because then you enable them and disable them because they get used to somebody else doing it. It's like if mom takes care of everything around the house. When I used to work around UCF, we'd have these kids come to school, 18, 19 years old. They've never swept the floor. They didn't know how to use a broom. Didn't know how to wash dishes because mom did all that stuff. And we taught them how to do it. Don't worry, we did. We taught them. You know, mopping the floor and cleaning. They didn't know how because mom did all that stuff. Well, we can't do everything for people and take away their power to do it for themselves. That's not only true of college students. It's true in nursing homes, independent living situations, and caregiving situations. If they can do it for themselves, we've got to let them. You know, as children are starting to grow up, we've got to let them learn tasks and learn how to function. Hate to put them out on their own and they can't function because mom and dad did all that stuff. And so the independence, as we talk about independence, we're not talking about removing self-sufficiency, but we are talking about that independent mind that says, I don't need anybody. I don't need anybody. I don't need God. I don't need the church. I don't need friends. I'm on my own and don't need anybody else. That's a lousy attitude. We need God. We need the church. We need our family. We need others. And sheep know that. Goats refuse that. And so he divides the sheep from the goats. He says in verse number 34, the king shall say unto them on his right, these are the sheep, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And that's important, and you'll want to keep that in mind. Prepared for you. Verse 35, I was hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty. You gave me drink. Easy, right? Those are easy. Isn't that easy? I was a stranger, and you took me in. That's hard, especially in our culture today. I was naked and you clothed me. Again, easy. I was sick and you visited me. Easy. I was in prison and you came unto me. A little bit harder, but still not hard. These are things we can do. If someone's hungry, we can feed them. If they're thirsty, we can give them a drink. If they need a coat or clothing or shoes, we can provide that. There are ways. If they're sick, we can go to them or call them at least, check on them. And if they're in prison, we can even go and visit them there. These are things we can do. When Jesus lays out for us this moment of judgments and of separation, what is it that sets us apart as God's people? Are we doing what we can do? Big question. You know, I think about it. People that aren't at church tonight, and I know some are sick and have other reasons they can't be here. But you know, if we weren't at church tonight, where would we be? I mean, what are we going to do? Skip church to stay home and watch TV? When church is over, you know, it's like, oh, I sure hope he'll finish. Why? I mean, what if I preach till 9 o'clock tonight? That going to bother y'all? I promise I'm not going to, but if I did. I mean, what are we rushing home to watch TV? Rushing home to read? Rushing home to go to bed? I mean, we rush out of church? Why? Man, let's enjoy God's people and being in God's house and God's word and music and let's enjoy that. A lot of people don't like God and it's a good thing they're not going to heaven, I guess, because that's where God is. Me, I love God and I like going where he is. Of course, the good thing is he goes where I go. These are things we can do. And he says that he's rewarded. This is Jesus. He says, when I'm looking at the things that Christians do, that believers do, these are the things they do. And so I say to you tonight, are they? Are they things that we do, can do, will do? They're easy things. Then shall the righteous answer, verse 37, Lord, when? When saw we thee hungered and fed thee? Or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? Verse 40, and the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. You know, as I read that, I kind of got caught on that phrase, the least of these. Is he talking about someone that's less important? Someone that's overlooked? Or is he actually talking about a smaller need? You know, sometimes we think, you know, we see these commercials about people starving. Right now, you know, for the last few years, the big one has been the Jews that are hungry in Russia and Ukraine and such as that. But you know, you don't have to go all the way to Ukraine or Israel to find, or Russia to find hungry people. In fact, you probably wouldn't have to go more than 3 or 4 miles from where we are right now to find somebody that has a need. Whether that need is a power bill so that they can keep the heat on, or whether that's a meal, food or drink or clothing or the least need. You know, we don't have to give big to be blessed. We just have to give. We don't have to help. We don't have to buy them a house for God to recognize our goodness, our charity. Just something. Just do something to help them. And it's a growing crisis. And I'm afraid we're going to see it more here at home as they continue to come across the border. By the way, let me just recognize something. A lot of the people that are coming across, I know there are terrorists and criminals. I know all that. But some of the people that are coming here are really escaping harsh war zones in South America. And I hate that, and I'm sorry about that. But they have let so many people cross into our border that I assure you, and we've seen some of it here already, but it will become a growing problem for the state of Florida and for our area. Beyond what we know just of our Americans that are in need. The crisis will grow and it will be up to the church. Guys, we've let the government do so much in the name of charity that now they take our money and send it all around the world for all different kind of schemes. And really, it never should have become the government's burden to take care of others. It should have always been the family, the church, and the community. Locals, neighbors. For what it's worth, we're way past that now. But we, the church, are going to have to help some people somewhere, whether that's a neighbor or a relative or somebody that we identify, we know them, they call us with a little need or a big need, and we give what we can. You know, sometimes the need is bigger than what we can afford to give. But Jesus says, when you did it for the least of these, you did it for me. People ask me for money sometime for help, and I will help them. And sometimes they take advantage. But you know, I always go back to this. I didn't give it to them for them. I gave it to them because that's what the Lord told me to do. And of course, you still have to be wise in it, but we do it in obedience. Verse 41, then shall he say to them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Couple of things there. Number one, he said everlasting. This idea that hell's going to burn out is a bad idea. Death and hell will be cast to the lake of fire. It will be an eternal place of torment. Everlasting fire. Secondly, it was never intended for us. It was never intended for the souls of men, but for the devil and his angels. So if you go to hell, it will be your choice against God's will. Because God never intended for us to go there. In fact, not only did he not intend for us to go there, he made a way to keep us out of there. And that's through Jesus Christ. But Jesus is the only way. He said, I was hungered and you gave me nothing. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. I was naked, you clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and you visited me not. Now, I'll admit to you, probably the hardest one these days is to go visit somebody in prison. You got to jump through some hoops. You got to go when they tell you to go. But it's still one of those things that God said he blesses if we have the opportunity to do that. And I encourage you, if you have somebody, relative or friend or something that's in there, go see them. Maybe just what they need to encourage them. They said, verse 44, when? When? We didn't know you were hungry. We didn't know you were thirsty. We didn't know you were naked. We didn't know you were sick or in prison. We didn't know you ever had that situation. We never knew about it. Nobody told us. Then shall he answer, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. The little things. The little things. But if you didn't do it for anybody, you didn't do it for the Lord. Sometimes we have to do things that are uncomfortable. Sometimes we have to do things that we never thought about doing, because that's what serves the Lord. There are people out there who want to know what the church stands for and what the church is all about. Jesus tells us here, it's about helping those, as Brother Stegg always says, who are less fortunate. It's about helping those who are in need. Sometimes they need clothes or whatever. Sometimes they just need a friend. That's all they need, is to know somebody cares. And that's our job as a church. Let's stand. God, we understand your directive tonight. And that directive is to look for needs and fill them. And we've got a great church. We've got a giving church. And people are loving and they want to help. But God, I pray that this week, as each of these situations comes before us, that we'll remember that you told us that we're not doing it for them. We're doing it for you. We're representing heaven. We're the ambassadors of Christ. Show us the way. Forgive us our sins. Dismiss us with your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.